I'd like to invite you to turn to the book of Genesis, please. Genesis chapter 49. Genesis chapter 49, and we're going to continue our study on the sons of Jacob. Thus far within this chapter, Jacob has addressed 10 of his sons. Now he addresses Joseph. No doubt Joseph had a very special place in the father's heart because of all that has happened to him. So I'd like for us to note Jacob's words to Joseph and what we can learn from these choice words. Jacob knows his time is near. His time of stepping into eternity is imminent. So as he assembles his sons around him and he seeks to provide guidance and direction and insight, we now come to Joseph. Wow, what a life. And no doubt you could just imagine what went through Jacob's mind as I would think he took a deep breath, maybe two, maybe three, before he shared what God has led and shown him to share concerning his life. Note here in Genesis chapter 49, I'd like for us to read verses 22 and 23. Genesis chapter 49, verse 22 and 23. Joseph is a fruitful bough. Even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. Let's bow for prayer. Oh God, we're so thankful for our yearly theme of holiness and to be holy because you are holy. And I pray as we spend these few moments together that you will indeed generate within us a holy heart. And Lord, help us to walk in your will and give us understanding of your workings. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Let's note here in verses 22 to 26 what Jacob had to say about Joseph. He had much to say about this godly son of his. Let me ask you this morning, what will the Lord say about you and I at the judgment seat of Christ? Will he say of you and I have nothing to say? Or will our God say to the effect, well, where do we start? Where do we start? What does Jacob say about Joseph? We note in verse 22, he makes reference to his advancement in verse 22. Joseph is a fruitful bough. Joseph, you are fruitful. The word bough, if you look it up in meaning, means son. It is in reference to the branch of a tree. Joseph, thou art a fruitful
branch. And note then verse number 22, how fruitful, look at this. Even a fruitful bough or branch by a well, whose branches run over the wall. Fruitfulness is evident in the life of Joseph. And as Jacob addressed this son, he said, Joseph, you are a man of fruitfulness. In fact, so much fruitfulness that you are as a plant, as a vine planted by a continual water supply or a well that has resulted in abundance of fruit and so much fruit to the point that it overflows over the boundary of a wall into the property of the next. So fruitful. You are likened as if you are a vine that is planted by a water stream, a well, and you've become so fruitful to the point the vine, the branches have grown and carried their fruit over the neighboring walls and into the other property, to another property. So Jacob tells us that, Joseph, you are fruitful. May I submit to you and I this morning that we as Bible-believing Christians, we that have received Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior from sin, we can be fruitful. Now, the elementary means of being fruitful as a Christian involves the assurance of salvation first and foremost. We cannot bear fruit unless we are connected to a life source. And the life source of fruitfulness is none other than Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Note then John chapter 15 for a moment, please. The Gospel of John chapter 15. Note verse 4, abide in me and I in you. John 15, 4. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Let me ask you this morning, are you in Jesus Christ? Have you received Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior from sin? He that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son of God has not life. Do you have life in Christ? Are you connected to the vine? Because if you are connected in the vine and you allow nothing to interfere within your relationship with Jesus Christ, the Bible teaches us that you will bear fruit. Look at verse number 5 of John 15. I am the vine, said the Lord Jesus, and ye are the branches, in reference to Christians. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth how much fruit? Much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. So there needs to be a connection. Are you connected to Jesus Christ? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. If you are in Christ, there should be some outflow, some evidence of that life. This is what it means to be a Bible-believing Christian. To have that life of Christ within us and remaining within fellowship with our God, we will bear fruit. We can be fruitful as Christians, and what I call the elementary means of being fruitful involves the assurance of eternal life, making sure that you know Jesus Christ as Savior, that is beyond head knowledge, it's heart knowledge, and then abiding in Him, making sure that nothing comes between me and my Savior. That's why John 15, verse number 3 reads, "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." It's the word of God that keeps enables us to keep a close and abiding connection with the vine, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible teaches us in John 15, verse 16, that we are ordained to bear fruit. In other words, God has ordained for you as a Bible-believing Christian to be fruitful. Are you a fruitful Christian? Is there any evidence of life eternal within you? Because if there is not, there is a serious problem. We expect a tomato vine to produce tomatoes. We expect an apple tree to produce apples. And God expects and has ordained in Christ that we will be fruitful. So you and I should be fruitful as a Christian if we have this relationship with Christ and we are abiding in Him. If there is no fruit, then you and I need to stand back and examine ourselves whether we be in the faith. Whether you really have a heart knowledge of Jesus Christ instead of just a head knowledge of Jesus Christ. So the elementary level of fruitfulness. Then there is what I call the advanced means of fruitfulness. So there's elementary level. And there is advanced level. Or the advanced means of fruitfulness. So what is the advanced means of being fruitful? Well, it's fleshed out in the life of Joseph. Go back to Genesis chapter 49. Jacob informs us of Joseph's fruitfulness in verse 22. But Jacob also informs us that this fruitfulness in the life of Joseph has come at a price. Look at verse 23. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. If you want to be abundantly fruitful as a Christian, it comes at a price. It's costly. What is that price? What is that cost? Well, verse 23 tells us, in essence, it's called adversity. Let's say it together. Adversity. You want advancement, then you need to be prepared to endure. Let's say it together. Adversity. And Joseph was a fruitful bough because Joseph was prepared to pay the price of abundant fruitfulness, which was enduring adversity with a right spirit. We do not read that Joseph complained. We do not read that Joseph became bitter in spirit in the many years of the adversity he experienced, and therefore he is a fruitful bough. So the elementary level of being a fruitful Christian is simply knowing that you are connected to the vine and you are abiding in Him. That's elementary level. But if you really want to advance and you really want the commendation of Almighty God, the full commendation of Almighty God, and you really want to glorify God as nothing else, well, go back to John chapter 15, please. Let me show you something. Note here in John 15, verse 8, look at this very closely. Herein is my Father glorified, let's say it together, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. So herein is my Father glorified, how? That ye bear much fruit. How do we bear fruit? We abide in Christ. Do you desire to be fruitful? Why should we desire to be fruitful as a Christian? Beyond just giving the evidence of everlasting life, we should desire to be fruitful because the more fruit that hangs off your life and my life as a branch connected to the vine, the greater glory our God will receive. That's why we should desire to be fruitful. God gets more glory. And in Isaiah 43, verse 7, the Bible teaches us that we are created for His glory. We're here to glorify God. Oh, but Pastor, look, I think I'm content just with the elementary level of fruitfulness. No, no, no. God wants you to give Him glory more and more. And therefore, God's going to lead you into situations of adversity so that you can come out as pure as gold and be more fruitful, and God gets more glory. You know, we like to cap our progress, don't we? You and I like to make that executive decision. That's enough. That's enough. Okay. That's enough pressure. Thank you very much. No more. That's it. How do we do that? Well, we, you know, quit a job or walk out on a situation or amputate a relationship or pay somebody out. That's enough. I'm out. But when it comes to being fruitful as a Christian, there's no way out. Because God is concerned with His glory. So therefore, God will allow adversity in your life. God will allow adversity in my life that He might receive more glory. If we respond biblically, as Joseph of old. And note back here in Genesis chapter 49, verse number 23, the adversity. So verse 22, Joseph makes reference to the advancement, the fruitfulness of Joseph. And then in verse 23, Jacob makes reference to the adversity that Joseph had to endure, how he was grieved. And this is in reference to the fact that Joseph was no doubt had to endure the adversity of being hurt emotionally by his own brothers. How would you feel if all of your siblings assembled and orchestrated your death? I don't imagine you'd feel loved. I think you would be hurt emotionally. Don't you think? Talk to me. Yeah. They grieved him. He had to endure that emotional hurt. But also, note here in verse 23, what else did he endure? And they shot at him. Well, what does that mean? The brothers deliberately tried to kill him. Can you imagine your own siblings deliberately trying to kill you? How would you feel? Probably not very good. He was hurt emotionally. He was shot at as an archer. aims to shoot and to kill. Joseph had to endure that. Then look at verse 23, and they hated him. It's not very nice to be hated, is it? Can you imagine being, you know, we all have families, you know, I wish we could trade family in from time to time. Maybe you wish the same. You know, we all have those, you know what I'm talking about? Smile at me, you know what I'm referring to. Wish you could trade in some family for better family, but we're stuck with family. And how would you feel to be hated by your own siblings? These are his 10 older brothers. Remember, he's the youngest one. When he was sold into slavery, he was the youngest one. So how would you feel? You're down here and they're up there. My word. They're trying to kill me. So Joseph had to endure hurt. Joseph had to endure his life being threatened. They attempted to kill him. And Joseph had to endure the thought of being hated, to be persecuted. I love the Psalm 109, verse 4. Listen carefully. It reads, "For my love, they are my adversities. For my love, they are my adversities." But the psalmist said, "But I give myself unto prayer." That's good advice. "If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small." Proverbs 24, 10. Joseph did not faint. He endured, and therefore he became a fruitful bough. And if you and I want to move on from elementary fruitfulness to advanced level of fruitfulness, then you and I need to be prepared to endure adversity. "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man." And if we will endure, keeping our eyes on the author and finisher of our faith. Joseph walked by faith. He knew that God was in control. He maintained a right spirit because he knew that God was sovereign and God was looking after him and God was at work. And that's why in Genesis 50 he could say, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." Romans 8:28, beloved, is still in the Bible. All things work together for good to them that love God. And no matter your adversity, hey, God wants to bring greater glory to his name. So he's allowing adversity in your life to cause you to be more fruitful. And note the fruitfulness that Jacob makes reference to in the life of Joseph from verses 24 and following. "But his bow abode in strength." This is a commendation of Joseph. And Jacob is referring to the fact that God has sustained you, Joseph, during your adversity, during that trip into Egypt, and that time you're in prison, that time that you were falsely accused, God has sustained you. The addition of sustaining grace in Psalm 3, verse 5, "For the Lord sustained me," said the psalmist. And one of the advanced measures of fruitfulness that God will produce in your heart and in your life as you endure by faith that adversity is that God will give you grace. He will sustain you. Joseph doesn't quit. Aren't you glad he didn't quit? Because he didn't quit, he found himself in Egypt and found himself in a position of leadership, and therefore the nation of Israel, from whom the Savior will come into the world, was delivered from famine. I'm glad he didn't quit. Not only was he sustained, look at verse 24. "And the arms of his hands were made strong." were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. Another addition to Joseph's life was not only sustaining grace, the word abode is the key word there. But number two, he was made strong. God strengthened Joseph spiritually and caused him, for example, to say no to temptation to Potiphar's wife. He was strengthened. That's fruitfulness, to be strengthened spiritually. So how does God strengthen us spiritually? Well, he allows us to go through some adversity to not only give us grace to sustain, but also to put some steel in our backbone. He was strengthened through this adversity. We read on, note then verse 24. Note the word shepherd. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. God guided Joseph. God shepherded him in these difficult situations. As he stood before Pharaoh, and Pharaoh said, "Interpret my dreams, will you? I've heard that you've got an ability there. I hear that you interpret the dreams of the butler and the baker, and they came true." And Joseph's response was, "Interpretations belong to God. It's God that's going to guide me." And beloved, when you and I go through adversity, we will bear the fruit of God's guidance. We'll know the reality of God's presence. God guided Joseph. And God gave Joseph some stability. Note that word stone there, the stone of Israel. The mighty God of Jacob, from whence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. So God guided Joseph and God gave him stability in his life. And many of God's people, including some of us in this room this morning, you are in need of greater stability and consistency. And listen to me carefully. God will allow adversity in your life because he wants you to be fruitful. He wants you to know what it means to be sustained, not in your own strength, but in the grace of God. God wants to give you strength, and God wants to show you that he hasn't deserted you. He will lead you through the valley of the shadow of death. So no need to fear evil. God will guide you and God will stabilize you. Joseph had some stability. Like that. On the level with the bubble in the middle. Stability, strength, guidance, sustenance. Let's read on. Look at this. Are you still with me? Look at verse 25. Even by the God of thy father who shall help thee, and by the Almighty who shall bless thee. With blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the beasts and of the womb. So what fruitfulness did God add to Joseph's life because he endured adversity, sustaining grace, the word abode, made strong, he strengthened him, guidance, shepherd, stability, a stone, and Joseph, it was said of Joseph that God had helped him. The God of thy father who shall help thee. I praise God that he is a very present help in trouble. Psalm 46 verse 1. This is our God. God aided Joseph in his time of need. He did not desert him. He was a present help. This is our God in times of adversity. We might not see him, but we will see his footprints carrying us through the valley of the shadow of death, because our God is our helper. And you and I will need to go through some adversity from time to time that we might rest and trust in him alone, so that we can bear much fruit and therefore the Father is glorified. Help thee, and note the word bless there in verse 25. Bless thee. How much blessings? Well, Jacob said of Joseph, blessings in every way, Joseph. You are blessed and you will be blessed in every way. Note the reference here in verse 25 to the heaven above and to the deep. So what's he trying to communicate to dear son Joseph? He said, you are blessed, Joseph, and you will be blessed beyond comprehension because you have endured adversity. Look at verse 26. The blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors unto the uttermost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph, on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. Jacob gave Joseph a double portion in Israel by adding his sons Ephraim and Manasseh. And we see that in the second census, listen carefully, the second census that was taken in the wilderness, that these tribes were the most populated in Israel. So God fulfilled his promise, and God said to Joseph, you will be fruitful. In fact, progenitors, what's he referring to there? He's basically saying to his son, son, listen to me. I have been blessed. I have been blessed above Abraham, above Isaac, my father. But you, my son, will be blessed a whole lot more. I've been blessed more than Abraham, more than Isaac. But you, Joseph, because you've endured adversity, you will be blessed. There is no limit to that blessing, as high as the heaven and as deep as the sea. A special crown of blessing rested upon the life of Joseph. Jacob bestowed on Joseph the greatest blessing, because this son endured adversity. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 3, it reads, listen carefully. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Joseph, you are crowned with blessing. Why? Note at the end of verse 26, and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. Because, Joseph, you endured adversity, you were sold into slavery, your brothers tried to kill you, tried to get rid of you, and you maintained a right spirit through it all, and God has been with you. You are blessed, 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 blessed beyond I could ever be blessed. I'm blessed more than Abraham, Joseph. I'm blessed more than Isaac, Joseph. But you are blessed far more than I'll ever be blessed because you endured adversity. Let me ask you this morning, do you want to be abundantly fruitful in 2020? The elementary level, John 15, abide in Christ. Just make sure you're connected. You're listening to me? Where's the fruit? And Christian, let me challenge you to challenge those that call themselves Christian. Ask the question, buddy, where's the fruit? You say you're a Christian, where's the fruit? Where's the fruit? Where's the beef, as we would say? Amen? Where's the beef? Come on. Where's the substance? Where's the evidence of life? If you abide in the vine, you will bear fruit, more fruit, much fruit, fruit that will remain. My God's not a liar. If any man be in Christ, is a new creature. Beloved, you better make sure that you know Christ the Savior, because I guarantee there's probably some in this very room, this hour, that do not know Christ the Savior. And you think you're a Christian because you've got it up here. Beloved, you need to have it in your heart. Where's the fruit? Elementary. Elementary, Watson. Elementary. You want to move on to advanced fruitfulness? Would you like to move on to advanced fruitfulness? Therefore, God gets more glory. Let's take some steps. 1, 2, 3. Advanced level. But it comes at a price. It's called adversity. Trials and testings. And as you endure, God sustains you, gives you strength to not quit. God puts some steel in your backbone. God will guide you. God will stabilize you. You'll know what it means to be helped by God. And the icing of the cake is that you will be blessed, blessed, blessed. And you're about to say, to God be the glory. He has blessed me above and beyond I can imagine. Why? Because you've endured adversity. Elementary. Advance. To what end? Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear. Let's say it together. The verse doesn't stop there. And so shall you be my what? Say it again. You give evidence that you're a disciple of Christ. May God help us to endure adversity. Welcome it. And trust God for the grace as He provided for Joseph, that we might bear so much fruit that it overflows and it goes into over the wall and into the next property, and this fruitfulness is evident to the neighbors. The neighbors see it. What's this vine? Where's this vine coming from? What's coming from him, that Christian? They're invading our property. Yes, they are. What with fruitfulness? fruit too. Let's bow for prayer.